Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com. Live, where else would I be, of course, but at home with this week's first goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast, as we're calling it. You probably know the drill by now. We're just doing a little chat every day during this quarantine. Putting it on our podcast platform, putting it on video, putting it on our website at goldenblack.com. Hopefully something to keep you entertained while, you know, the stir craziness of this whole reality that we're in nowadays sets in. Apologize for the shameless little Tiger King plug there to start. I watched it last week and am owed half of my IQ back. Starting a new week here of these daily quarantines, which are brought to you by our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. Want to remind you that the 6th Street Dive remains open for carryout in Lafayette. Also, our longtime friends of the business, Bruno's, Arnie's, and now the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette all remain open for carryout orders, so please keep them in mind. Not Brunies, Bruno's and Arnie's. So thank you. Just please, if you want to support our local business, if you're just hungry, please keep 6th Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn in mind. Today's topic I just arbitrarily picked out this afternoon. At goldenblack.com, I'm posting something we're calling the Targeted 20, a clever, clever name for a list of 20 recruits who I've compiled, who I think are serious targets for Purdue. Also guys who I think are realistic. I didn't put guys on there who I think Purdue will be out by the end of the week or something like that. I didn't want to put any false hope type guys in there to try to give you the most realistic picture I could anyway of where things kind of stand right now. I think there are some guys on there that I can't promise you Purdue stays on. I think there's some guys on there I can't promise you Purdue's going to have a chance at. But I had to get to 20 or 25 for the catchy headline to make sense. I couldn't go, here's the targeted 17, you know. So I needed a round number. So I put guys on there that hopefully turn out to be guys Purdue is viable with, hopefully guys who are viable with Purdue. But recruiting is a deal where you never know what you don't know. So please keep that in mind. But anyway, I will be posting here shortly the targeted 20 at goldenblack.com, and wanted to do this as kind of a companion piece to that by just talking about a couple of these guys. Guys who I think Purdue has a really good some guys Purdue could have a really good shot at, some guys who could be sort of that higher end, sort of lower percentage type of home run sort of guys. I can't read this word I wrote down here. I think it says positions. So I think what I wanted to do was just talk about some important positions. First of all, I think linebacker is going to be critical for a couple of reasons. One, because you're really thin there right now. Two, because you're trying to transition to a certain extent toward more 3-4 sort of personnel. I understand that a good football player is a good football player, regardless of what scheme you are running. But if Purdue is truly moving full scale toward 3-4, those outside linebackers, you ask a little bit different of them than you would ordinarily of a 4-3 linebacker, I think. You need those guys to be your pass rushers on top of being able to carry out traditionally some of the other responsibilities for an outside linebacker. So I don't know if we're making too much out of 3-4 personnel or not. I just think it's something, you know, worth monitoring. I have seen Purdue recruiting a lot of defensive ends as linebackers. So I think you're seeing in their actions in recruiting an indication that they are very much trying to tweak their personnel in that direction. I think the offensive line is always going to be an important position in recruiting, especially for Purdue, because I think you really need to upgrade there moving forward over the long term. I think that starts with getting a higher caliber of guy on top of getting them in the program and then making them better. But the better position they're in as their starting point, the better the player they stand a chance to be. You know, Jeff Brohm is on record saying that's a position he's willing to oversign to make sure he has depth there, to make sure he has options to increase the percentages of getting the sorts of personnel that you need to have in there. And I think his actions have backed that up. I think Purdue in the last class signed a bunch of offensive linemen and would have signed a couple more had the right guys fallen in place. So I think that's going to be a very important position in this class again. I think the secondary is still a position where Purdue wants to get a higher level of corner, wants to get sort of the right personnel there as well. You know, I don't know where they are at defensive tackle, but if you are moving toward a 3-4 again, typically you want that really big sort of monolithic nose tackle. You know, Lorenzo Neal and Anthony Watts aren't going to be here forever. Obviously, they're both winding down their Purdue careers. You have some decent young players in the program right now. I don't know if you have that 310-pounder that you can put in the middle of your defensive line at this point. I don't know if Lawrence Johnson can ever be that player. But that could be something that you try to find at some point. The 310-pound space-eating nose tackle who's athletic enough to be functional, that guy is hard to find. And everybody wants him. So that's one of the big questions, you know, I have personally about the 3-4. Can you go get that guy? Because he's hard to find and he's hard to get. And he's important. It just so happens you inherited Lorenzo Neal. That makes perfect sense for this final season where you were doing the 3-4, but can you replace him? How many Lorenzo Neals has Purdue had over the years? One, basically. In terms of being that 320, 330 pound, whatever he weighs, player who's quick, explosive, strong, the whole package. It's a hard player to get. So it'll be interesting to see where Purdue goes from a recruiting perspective in trying to find that player again. But I've rambled and rambled before I got to actual names here. Yanni Karlaftis, clearly. I think he's the most important player Purdue will recruit in this class for a lot of reasons. One, he's really good. Two, you need linebackers. Three, you have lots of natural inherent connections and advantages there. I think Purdue's in a really good spot there. I think they should be in a really good spot there considering all of the connections they have to him and whatnot. And again, the four-star linebacker from West Lafayette High School is the most important player I think Purdue will recruit in this class. To Donovan McCulley, the quarterback from Lawrence North. Purdue has signed good quarterbacks under Jeff Brohm for sure. Have they gotten that breakthrough national guy yet? I don't know. I think Jack Plummer was really good. I think Michael Lamo from New Jersey in this last class is very good. Donovan McCulley, you know, might not have the Alabamas, might not have the Georgias, might not have the whoever else in terms of his recruiting profile, but he is one of Rivals.com's top 250 players nationally. He is a really impressive overall player, a really good overall athlete. Purdue has been looking the last few classes, obviously, for more of a dual threat sort of quarterback. Whether they've gotten him is debatable. I think Jack Plummer has some characteristics of that for sure. But whether or not you've gotten that true sort of dual threat quarterback that you might be looking for a variety of reasons, I don't know. I think Donovan McCulley checks a lot of boxes in terms of that perspective, but also he's one of the best quarterback prospects in the country, and he happens to be an hour and a half away. I think Purdue's done a really good job with him early on. I think they're going to have a real shot there, but we'll see. Kyron Montgomery at Pike. Big physical. I've seen this kid a couple of times live. He is a prototypical defensive end body type, exactly what you want. Long, tall, explosive, quick off the line. Purdue is recruiting him for one of its 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher positions, which I wouldn't have thought when I watched him the two times live I saw him in the fall, but that must be a testament to Purdue's opinion of his athleticism, that they feel like he can play on his feet. Obviously, you're asking those positions to be primarily pass rushers and run stoppers, but also you do need those guys to drop back in coverage here and there too. So when your best pass rushers are also guys you're asking to drop back in coverage, that's they have to be a pretty special guy to be able to do that really well. And Purdue must be sold on his ability to do that. Who else is really going to be a big factor for him? I don't know. You know, the Iowas, the Indianas, and whatnot are always going to be in there. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets some really high-end offers from here on out. I know Arizona State just offered him, suggesting, hey, things might be opening up nationally for him. But he is a really impressive prospect as a defensive end. Daylon Carnell next, the Ben Davis cornerback who, you know, previously was in the Rivals 250, who I think fell out, not by any doing of his own. But he's that level of player too, even though he might not necessarily have that line next to his name at this point. This is a guy who Notre Dame offered early. This is a guy who is a national recruit basically as well. And he just listed a top three on Sunday of Purdue, Missouri, and West Virginia. Not exactly a murderer's row for a player that good. Purdue's gotten some Ben Davis kids here in the last couple classes. Elijah Ball, to name one, or I guess that might be the only one. The fact Indiana's not on there, the fact Notre Dame's not on there, you know, would suggest that, you know, Purdue could have, isn't going to have to beat the other local people for him. I don't know if the top three was the final three, but you don't necessarily see Missouri coming to Indianapolis and get a high-level kid over the Big Ten. You don't necessarily see West Virginia coming to Indianapolis and get a pretty high-level kid over the Big Ten. You'd have to think Purdue has a real shot there. I mean, corner is a position where somebody can step in right away at Purdue, clearly, and you know, that opportunity unto itself could be a difference maker for him. The offensive line, you know, there were a couple of Purdue's already got Jalen Allstott, Van Devanter from Mooresville committed from the state, but Joshua Sales from Brownsburg and Zach Richards from Mooresville, both are guys who Purdue seems to be in a great spot with. Both of them have all the usual suspect offers, Indiana, Illinois, and so on. Josh Sales has been offered as well by Nebraska and Missouri. If I had to guess, Purdue is probably number one for both of those guys right now. Whether or not they can take both of them right away and have three offensive linemen committed before June 1st kind of remains to be seen. Whether or not things can kind of change from here on out once people get to start taking visits again, whether these guys just decide they want to commit before taking other visits, I don't know. But Purdue's in a great spot with, you know, two of the best offensive linemen in the state. I can't say the two best linemen in the state because Blake Fisher, who's committed to Notre Dame from Avon, is the best offensive lineman in the state by a fairly wide margin, I think. But Purdue's in a really good spot to take basically a real bite out of a pretty good offensive line class in Indiana. It's Blake Fisher committed to Notre Dame. Luke Collinsworth from damn near Cincinnati is committed to Cincinnati now. And then there's Sales, Richards, and Allstott Vandevanter. Purdue would be positioned to get three of those guys if Sales and Richards are both guys Purdue winds up with. Kind of out of state, you always look at Purdue's comfort zone in Kentucky. And Jordan Dingle in Bowling Green, a four-star tight end, and Tristan Cox, a linebacker from Pulaski County, are both guys that you know, Purdue, I think, is going to be a real player for. Jordan Dingle is a guy who's going to have a national list of offers here, already does. Purdue will be one of the five in real contention for him, I'm quite certain. Important tight end class because you didn't sign one last year. You can go to kids now and say, hey, we didn't take one last year. We need a difference maker now. And that could really resonate with a Jordan Dingle, for example. He has a lot of connections to Purdue. Purdue's tight ends coach, Ryan Wallace's father, was the high school coach at Bowling Green High School for years. He's known Ryan Wallace for years, I'm quite certain. I know when his older brother, Justice, came to camps and on visits and whatnot, the Bowling Green staff typically was with him. That meant Ryan Wallace was coming with him. Justice Dingle ultimately went to Georgia Tech over Purdue. But Jordan Dingle came on those visits too, so he's been around Purdue quite a bit. He knows Ryan Wallace really well, and I think that's really going to matter when all is said and done. And Purdue's a pretty big draw for tight ends, the way they use it in their offense. Tristan Cox, big middle linebacker type who, in a parallel universe, could be a guy who even moves into a pass rushing defensive tackle role. He's that sort of Brandon Villarreal, Brent Grover type of linebacker body type. I'm probably dating myself by dropping those two names, but hopefully you guys go back far enough to remember those guys. Two big high school linebackers who moved to defensive tackle at Purdue and turned out to be pretty good players. Purdue's recruiting Tristan Cox as for one of those outside linebacker pass rusher positions, which again would speak to Purdue's opinion of his athleticism, his explosiveness off the edge. Really important positions for what Purdue on paper wants to do with this 3-4. If they're going full scale to 3-4 or not just using it as kind of a change of pace here and there. Clearly, the fact they're recruiting to it suggests this is the future of what Purdue wants to do defensively. Deion Burks in Belleville, Michigan. Purdue obviously is quite a draw for wide receivers. We've seen this time and again in recruiting. Deion Burks is a pretty highly regarded kid, again, from Belleville in the Detroit area, I believe. Purdue's done some pretty good things in Detroit. They've done some pretty good things with wide receivers. I think they're number one right now for Deion Burks. I think he has a May decision planned. He's a slot receiver type, and I think Purdue's sitting right there atop his list, and that could be an early commitment possibility. Purdue already has Preston Terrell from Brownsburg, Indiana, committed. This will be at least a two wide receiver class. I know you look at what Purdue has at wide receiver, and they're loaded there, and you ask yourself, how many wide receivers do they need? Well, when you look at how many of those guys have gotten hurt the last couple of years, and when you take into account the fact that you have some guys who are so good that they might not be four-year players in college, I don't think you're ever going to see a class at Purdue where they don't sign at least two or three wide receivers, and this will certainly be the case. Deion Burks being another target, one Purdue sits in pretty good position with. And that's kind of, those are kind of the names that I wrote down for now as the real hot button sorts of guys. Marquise Irving from Chicago land, the suburbs, is a running back who I think from largely the beginning of the process has been one of Purdue's number one. You can't say one of their number one targets, either their number one target or one of their top targets. He's been one of their top targets, if not their number one target. I'm not really quite certain where they sit with him right now. I know they're going to be a player. I don't know who else is really at the top of his mind right now. I think Iowa, if they really turn the screws on him, they're always tough to beat for running backs, and they're really tough to beat in Chicagoland because that's a little bit of their recruiting comfort zone. But Marquise Irving is another one to keep an eye out. I don't know why I didn't write down his name, but I just thought of it. So that's kind of what I got here. It's going to be interesting in this class to see how Purdue is perceived. You know, they've done an unbelievable job. They did an unbelievable job for the first 2 years maintaining momentum in terms of staying at the forefront of people's minds, staying hot, staying cool. Obviously, Purdue goes 4-8 last year for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was an uncommon run of injuries. How do they get it back in recruiting? How do they get hot again? I think Purdue's off to a decent start in recruiting with the three early commitments they have. But obviously, Purdue is going to want to make some waves this season to convince everybody, hey, we're still what we thought you were before. This thing is still obviously headed in the right direction, you know, so on and so forth. That stuff is so important in recruiting. And you saw the dividends paid at the first two classes. And you would like to obviously get things back to where you are red hot again and reap the benefits in recruiting. That's what I got. So that's kind of a little bit of a companion to our goldenblack.com targeted 20 post that's going up here in a little bit. So from home, this has been Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com with our Monday daily quarantine simulcast brought to you by Fall Out to Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. I want to remind you again, of course, the 6th Street Dive remains open for takeout in Lafayette, as do our longtime friends of the business, Arnie's and Bruno's, not Bruni's, as I said before, as well as the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette. So please, if you're looking to support local business, looking to support our restaurants, looking to support our goldenblack.com sponsors. Please keep them in mind. If you're just looking for damn good food, also, if that's not reason enough, the damn good food, please keep in mind 6th Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. And my screen went to sleep again. But I even put my computer to sleep. Can you believe that? Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.